Good evening. Good start. That's the first words I had written down. Good. Actually, as we were sitting there, and I was just thinking of the word devotional. You know, devotional. What is a devotional? I didn't even know before really contemplating it. And just to think devotion, to be devoted to something, to be committed to something. And that's what we all are here tonight. We're all committed to this body of believers. We're all committed to the Word. We're all committed to Christ and what we've got to learn here. And that's so wonderful. And speaking of devotion, you know, Malia gave me this Bible. It's one of several that she's given me over the years. And not because I'm particularly studious in the Word or particularly engrossed in it, but she's devoted to me and my growth and being in that Word, and that they all have just a wonderful inscription in the front that she's written down, you know, to me. And, you know, her devotion to me just, it never ceases to amaze. And thank you for the introduction, Joseph, because, yeah, entering into the body of believers here at Shannon Hills has been such a treat and such a delight and a blessing for her and I and for our children. They actually started coming to the VBS here a couple of years before we started attending. And we've all been welcomed with open arms, free from any kind of, not that it was deserved, but free from any judgment or presuppositions. We were just welcomed with love and embrace. And it probably didn't matter what kind of state or condition we were in when we got here. We just felt welcome. And that was amazing. And we've come to know and love so many of the individuals here, so many in this room, and it's been a delight. And to be encouraged, we have so many generational examples from young to old to, you know, people our own age, people older than us, people younger than us, that are all walking their walk in Christ, and then seeing examples of some believers that have come here their whole life or have been involved with the assemblies in some way their entire lives, and being able to use their example as a blueprint, you know, having not been raised in a tradition like this, not knowing what this kind of a fellowship could look like. And so being able to see it and getting to know you folks, and it's just been wonderful and lovely. And in my personal time with the Word, I don't give enough time to it. But I believe if you ask anybody, none of us give enough time to it. As much time as we give, we'd probably all like to give a little bit more. And so I find myself sitting down for my own personal devotional time, and I might think to myself, oh, well, the trash needs taking out. And all these distractions start entering in. But the trash needed taking out all day. Ooh, and I neglected it. Why is it important to do it all of a sudden right now? Or there's some dirty dishes in the sink. And then the one that gets me the most when it comes to my personal devotional time is, well, I don't have enough time right now. You know, we've put the kids down. I've got to get to bed. I've only got 15 minutes. Or, you know, that's not enough time. Like, God deserves more time than that. I can't give him just 15 minutes. Well, so I started this little game with myself where I would read the shortest books in the Bible because that takes away that excuse, right? I mean, let's see, I've got it written down here. 2 John is only 13 verses. Who doesn't have time for 13 verses? You can read an entire book in the New Testament. And 3 John is right behind it at only 14 or 15 verses. I learned this depending on your translation. And then Old Testament, Obadiah, or you might look at Jude. We have so many books to look from. I'd love to do a series on Jude, such a short book, but there's so much there. You know, we could talk about Jude with a month of Sundays, but I've got 15 minutes tonight. So that brings me to the book that I wanted to try and do a little survey of tonight. the short book in the New Testament that I haven't mentioned yet, and that is Philemon. It's a quick read. We won't go through all of it tonight, but if you get to Hebrews, you've gone too far. It's easy to miss. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. And as you flip there, yeah, there we are. So I chose Philemon because of the intimate setting tonight, the group of believers that I was just bragging on, this close group of believers that we have here at Shannon Hills in this room tonight. Philemon is such a touching and loving letter from Paul. So let's take a look at the greeting as we read. I'm reading from the NASB in case the words don't match up perfectly with what you guys have. But from verse 1 to 3, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker, and to Apphia, our sister, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's letters are so amazing because so many of them, we can examine the parts just as Mark is taking us through 2 Corinthians, and I think in three Sundays we're just out of the greeting. But Paul almost always opens with a greeting of sorts. And ponder this one, how it's different from the others. You know, it's not to the saints which are at Ephesus, or unto the church of God which is at Corinth, or to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, but to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker, and to Apphia, our sister, and if I'm getting these pronunciations wrong, I'm sorry. I didn't grow up saying them, but to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. So this letter could be written to our brother Luther, to our sister June, and to my fellow deacon, brother Amin, right? These people are called out personally in this letter. It's not just to the church at Shannon Hills, right? It's to these individuals. And also, you know, the church in your house, this was a house church, as many were in the early church, but I find that touching, that people met where folks lived, right, in their personal space. I can't imagine having this group of folks in my living room tonight. You know, there's a certain level of intimacy there and of fellowship and of being together. Let's compare this to how Paul introduces himself in some of his other letters. So in this one, it's Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. So it's from Paul and Timothy, to Philemon. Compare this to 1 Corinthians. Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. 1 Romans 1:1. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Or probably the most strongly worded in 1 Galatians. Paul, an apostle, not sent from men nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Paul is asserting himself and sort of demanding that he be heard and sort of letting the people know the source of his authority and why he is allowed to write such things as to God's will and God's word. But not in this letter. He doesn't declare himself an apostle sent from God or set apart. So I wonder why he might not do that in this letter. And it's because in this sweet letter, it's to believers that he knows. They know who he is. He doesn't have to say it again. And they're like-minded. Just like in 1 Corinthians, right? That's the message of 1 Corinthians at the beginning. You guys have a problem with not being like-minded. There's a lot of division in your gathering. Or think about the theme of Romans. The first three chapters are, you are a sinner. Everybody is a sinner. Jew and Gentile, you're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. That's a real heavy and, I would say, downtrodden way to start a letter, if you're reading it. You know, it's the truth that everybody needs to hear. It's an important message. But this letter doesn't have that. The theme of this letter is a brother calling out to other believers that he loves on behalf of another brother that they would receive him with open arms. Then we get into Paul's prayer, verses 4 through 7. I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have towards the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. To have Paul say that about any one of us, I would be so glad. It's just such a loving, nice letter. Everybody here had the faith, and there was fruit being produced from these people. Just looking at the words. And then I'm actually not even going to cover the purpose of the letter, the body of the letter. But towards the end, for context here, like I said before, Paul is writing Philemon regarding someone they both know. I might get this one wrong, Onesimus. So at the end of the letter, verses 17 through 25, if then you regard me a partner, accept him as you would me. But if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. Not to mention to you that owe me to me even your own self as well. Yes, brother, let me benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, since I know that you will do even more than what I say. At the same time, also prepare me a lodging, for I hope that through your prayers I will be given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. What blew me away reading through this letter several times, the thing I noticed more than anything else, is just the sheer volume of names mentioned. So now that we've gone through the sections that have names, there are 11 names in 25 verses. That's how personal this letter is. In order that they appear in the letter, like credits at the end of a movie, Paul, Timothy, Philemon, Apphia, Archippus, Onesimus, Epaphras, Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke. It's just such a wonderful letter from believers to believers. In verse 19, Paul says, I am writing this in my own hand, so that Philemon knows that this is a personal letter from Paul to him. He didn't use somebody else to write it for, you know, he didn't dictate it. You know, it's for your eyes only, if you will. Now the whole world has it in the most printed book of all time. In verse 22, prepare me a lodging, for I hope that through your prayers I will be given to you. You know, he might as well be saying, you know, I hope the guest room is clean and the sheets are made, or the bed is made and the sheets are clean. Yeah, I'll be coming to visit you here shortly. I mean, and then Paul's closing. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Not just be with you, be with your spirit. And so as I have the wonderful opportunity of speaking to all of you, I would hope that we could speak of each other in this way, that we would lift each other up. And I know that whenever anybody ever asks where I go to church, and I talk about just this body of believers and just how wonderfully welcoming and loving and caring and the amount of prayer and devotion that comes to our family is just wonderful. And so when I was given the opportunity to share a message, a devotional, during this time with this group of folks, I could think of no other book of the Bible that better embodies sort of what we have going on here in this room and at this assembly than Philemon. And I don't think I've ever heard a message preached on Philemon before. So I thought, what an opportunity, right? To read a book that I'm not that familiar with, to go over it. You know, any excuse that we can come up with to trick ourselves into being more devout to God's word. And so I didn't write a closing, but not like Paul did here. But in closing, that we could all remember the fellowship that we have, and just seeing how these believers have called out, you know, in times of need, and that the prayer concerns that are given during this time are overwhelmingly for salvation, for those that don't know Christ, that they would come to know Christ. It's so easy when giving prayer requests and when considering things and giving them to God, even though He knows all of them already, He wants to hear it from us, and that's so touching. But it's so easy to pray for the things that we want, that are of this world, that are temporary, that are temporal, that we want to hold on to those that we love that might be sick. We want to hold on to those things. You know, if we have trouble with our job, we don't want to lose our house, our car. But more often than not, when I'm listening to the prayer requests from this body, it's that God's will be done. And that is such an encouragement, and it is so wonderful and helps direct me in my own prayer life. And so for all of these things, I am very grateful and thankful, and I appreciate you giving me your time. Lord, thank you for this time together, that we have the opportunity to go through your word, that we have the ability to have access to your word. There are many in this world that have never heard your message, your gospel, that don't know about your saving grace, that those out there in the mission field be given the tools that they need and the liberty that is required to have your word heard. We pray for the persecuted church, that those out there that don't have the freedoms that we do in this country to enjoy, to meet, to gather, to worship for you, that your will be done in those lands. And we thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, the work that he did on the cross, that he took on our sins, that we would be seen as worthy in your presence one day when we will all one day meet you and be face to face with you and face to face with our decisions in this life, and most importantly, the decision to know you and to believe in that saving gospel message, and that we be with you in eternity. In your name we pray. Amen.